Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and welcome to the Dr. Cupertino Show. Sure hope we're going to get some callers, and I know everyone, including you, is really interested in our topic. Our topic for tonight is five things you must do before you die. Not should do, ought to try to pray to do, but what you must do before you die. And we're also going to have a little side discussion on the topic, dead women can look good. I know some is thinking, oh my God, is that possible? Well, of course you know it's possible. Many of you have attended funerals, and first thing you wanted to know is, oh my goodness, I wonder what are they going to really look like? What are they going to have on? What kind of makeup is really in vogue for the dead? I know many of you have wondered that. But first things first, there are five things that the same man and the same woman should concentrate on before they die or before their so-called final demise and departure into that great big paradise in the sky. And I wanted to really cover some of that information while we listen to Bach and Vivaldi there and the background. The number one thing any of us should do before we die is to make peace. That's making good relations with people you might have hurt, people you might have stolen something from, people that might have injured you and you were very vengeful and decided you were going to get back at them, people who might have moved into your home and, you know, just decided they were going to stay there until they got darn good and ready to go. Also, you might want to really look at this, talking with father and mother if you can. If you can't, you can always talk to the spirit of that one, their so-called guardian angel when they were alive. But making peace is very important before you die because, number one, it just tends to cause the blood to flow from the heart better, easier, softer, and, of course, more stronger. It helps you not to be fearful of death when the heart is strong. Many people are saying, oh, my God, you know, I don't think I'll ever be ready. Well, we both know, all of us know, that sooner or later, if we're alive at any given moment, our demise is around the corner. It might be a corner that's 10, 20, 40, 50 years into the future, but trust me, it is going to happen. And when a person makes any form of peace, to close doors that were open due to stress and strife, you know, they tend not to be fearful of that unknown other side of what we know as our material world. We don't tend to be cautious, looking over our shoulders, running to psychics, trying to have our fortunes told, and we don't tend to get sick as much. We don't tend to lean on our doctors and other family members in the form of a pseudo hypochondriac when we make peace with people that we know we should make peace with, and that's enemy, friend, and foe. Truly, we even tend to live longer. Once a person makes up their mind that come what may, I don't care what they say or do, I'm going to live my life in a peaceful fashion. I'm going to watch my mouth. I'm going to watch what I do. I'm going to watch where I go. I'm just going to get into a peaceful zone now while I can. And I'm just going to watch the world from the distance, even within and in the midst of turmoil and strife. I am going to make up my mind right now before I die that I'm going to make peace with this world and with myself. That's the number one person you really want to make peace with is yourself. Perhaps there are some things that have happened in your life that you haven't forgiven yourself from. things that only you know, things that only your eyes have seen in your life. You want to sit yourself down and say, well, you know, I'm human, and I'm from, according to Scripture, I'm from that old Adam and Eve, and, you know, I was born in sin, or that missing of the mark, if someone doesn't want to use that word sin, you know, you don't hear too much about sin, but my goodness, I've done a lot of things that I'm not too happy about. Making peace with yourself causes you to be able to make peace with others. It all really starts with you. Michael Jackson had a song out not too long ago, and he said, hey, I'm going to take a look at that man in the mirror. That's where it starts with. So making peace will cause fear of death, fear of troubles and trials and ugly, evil circumstances, not to really have that much of a scheme, not that much of a fight. The second thing we must do before we die is tell the world the truth. Now, you might wonder, why am I interested in that? I'm living my life. We've all lied. We've all made mistakes. We've all covered over things that were not pleasant. We all have one or more skeletons in the closet. Why in the world should I be interested in telling the world the truth? Once again, we're talking about things that we must do before we die. When we make up our mind to tell the world the truth about our circumstances, our lifestyle, our lives as we're living it, we tend to once again not be fearful of death. The scripture said the truth sets you free. It sets you free from malcontent. It sets you free from, once again, we're stressing the fear of death. It sets you free from having to wonder whether or not you're going to be found out tomorrow, tonight, within the next 5 minutes from some mischievous deed that you've done. You know, it's very stressful living a life of lies. I know I have a relative that says, if I have to live without lying, I don't want to live at all. Well, that, of course, that person has heart problems, foot problems, they're diabetic, and I could go on and on and on. When we live the truth, we can tell the world the truth. And I'm not talking about telling in an audible fashion. We can tell the truth just by the way we live our lives, by the kindness that we show others, by how we interact in our own lives on a day-to-day basis. How are we living that? Are we living a lie? Are we living in such a way that what looks like reality is not really reality? You know, when we wake up with a pill, lay down with a pill, need a pill to sleep, hey, my goodness, that's bad news. We're not living a life that lends to truth. And when you listen to people that are not truthful, that have a habit of lying, habitual liars, coloring over bad and good circumstances for grandiose purposes, you know, they're not happy, and they're fearful of dying. We're talking about things we must do before we die. Tell the world the truth, and tell it by the way you live. Tell it by the friends you choose to associate with. Tell it by what you do on a day-to-day basis. You tell the truth even by the clothes that you wear and by your persona that you project out to the world at large. Truly, the world will be a much happier place, and we won't have a fear of death if we, number two, one of the things we must do before we die, just tell the world the truth. And if we can't tell the world the truth, my goodness, what a sad, sorry state we're in. Our friends never know how to take us or react. And usually the world reacts to us as a person by the way we are projecting. And if we're living lies, if we're telling lies, if we're moving and have our being and our coming and going behind the lie and in front of the lie, then the world will treat us according to the lie that we're living. And that's not good. And that also, my goodness, that projects a persona that really we're not trustworthy. So one of the things, number two, that we want to do before we die, that's tell the world the truth. Secondary, third, we want to tell children the truth. If we have any adult children, if we have adopted children, stepchildren, you know, we want to take these people by the hand, maybe invite them to dinner and say, listen, I want to come clean. No, I'm not dying tomorrow, I don't think. But, you know, I really want to lay my cards on the table. I've been living all these years feeling that there's things that you need to know. Of course, I held them back when you were a child, when you were a youth, before you became a teenager, after you became a teenager, before you got married, after you got married. I've held these things back. But who knows what tomorrow may bring. And cross over, I want to tell you the truth. And the truth could be in the form of a gift. Telling the truth could be in the form of just something that you're offering the world. The truth could also be in the form of a book. You might hand a book to your adult child and say, here, here's something I want you to read that really concerns my life with you. You might also tell them the truth by saying, here, I have a letter for you. Here's something that I really thought I could not face years ago, perhaps when I should have told you the circumstances surrounding your birth or your mother's death or your father's disappearance or maybe a sibling that just walked away and never returned back home. Well, I'm here now in front of you. I want to say what I have to say via the letter, via the book, via walk in the park. People are not stupid. Let's get that straight. From the alcoholic on the street corner to the professor in the university, people are not stupid. People know when someone approaches them, especially a relative, and offers to take them out for a meal, when they haven't done that and it's not customary, they're already putting their feelers up and out there. They're thinking, oh, my God, hey, they have something to say. I wonder what's happening. Oh, are they dying? Oh, my God, are they thinking about putting me in their will? I mean, people are not stupid, and especially children, you would be surprised. Children are always waiting to hear from mommy, daddy, sibling, aunt, uncle. Children have a habit, even adult children, they have a habit of always wanting to know, where did I come from? Was I really wanted? Was my birth planned? And, you know, those questions lead to other questions such as, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And, of course, we don't have to sell them millions of dollars worth of books to answer that question. So thirdly, before we die, it's a good idea and a worthwhile idea to tell our adult children the truth. Even children 12 and over, they can understand when things are not going smoothly, that there's probably something that they don't know about or need to know. So definitely, thirdly, we want to, before we die, tell our children the truth. My God, it'll make a deathbed experience all the more better. And once again, that cuts through the fear of death. I've come clean. I did what I've had to do. I've talked to my children. I've made peace with the world. I'm telling the world the truth. I'm coming clean and telling my children the truth. That takes away the sting of death, of dying. Before you die, you know it's going to happen. So this is a very good thing to do. Fourthly, and very important, you know, we want to discover our destiny. You want to discover your destiny. I've lived 60, 70 years, and look at me. I'm not happy. I'm not doing any of the things I had dreamed of doing as a child. I haven't gone any of the places that I had planned while I worked 30 years straight. What's going on? Oh, my God, I just feel terrible. Well, we want to discover our destiny. At 10 or 110, as long as there's breath in the body, there's an opportunity to say, I wonder if I was born to be a police officer, help stamp out crime, just itty little bitty me. I wonder, oh, my God, what would that have been like? Well, guess what? You can start right now. You might not have access to a navy blue uniform and that cap and badge, but right where you're at, you can start to become some savior in your own little world, in your community, on your street. Is there a child you can help with their schoolwork? Is there an adult you can read to right next door? Is there someone you can go over and have tea with once a week? You'd be surprised at who's contemplating suicide right now as we're on this call, lonely, fretful, and fearful. You can be all that you've ever desired to be right where you're at. Your own acres of diamond is right where your feet are resting. So, discovering your destiny, that's not a hard thing to actually do. You know, you can take a pen and paper and you can say, oh my, you know, these are the two or three or four things I've always wanted to do in my life. I wanted to become a mathematician, but I had to raise my family. You can get yourself back into college. You can take online classes. You'll have more to talk about on your social events. You will become more interesting to guests and those that you meet at social events and parties and other affairs. Discovering your destiny takes away the fear of death, because now you've discovered who you are and your purpose by fact-finding, soul-searching, talking with friends, asking them what they think your strengths and weaknesses are, having a heart-to-heart talk with those that know you the best, know you the most, that really care about you. Wouldn't hurt or cost you a thing to say, George, listen, you know, what do you think I'm good at doing? What do you think that would really make my heart sing, that would really make me come alive before the eyes of the world? Chances are they'd be very truthful. They say, well, Frank, you know, I've been watching you for the past 20 years, and, you know, you really missed the mark. You really should have been a ya-ya-ya. Guess what? You can be just that. You can volunteer to be just that. You can be whatever you want to be, and guess what? Before you pass off of this scene, whatever you were destined to do, you're going to do it anyway. You were destined to be a doctor. You might not be a medical doctor. You'd be a plant doctor. You'd be a clothing doctor, fashion doctor, food doctor. Who cares about a professional title? You can entitle yourself. You're just as much as anyone else, and you really know it. You just need that push towards self-expression. The beauty of your spirit is there. You just need to look within. And when you look within, that's when you begin to discover your destiny. You can sit in your chair and say, oh, my, 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 you know, I want to be an actress. Get up right there in your own living room and start acting. It doesn't matter if you're not on the world stage. It doesn't matter if you're not getting paid $20 million a picture. You are what you say you are. And no one can refute that. You can be anything you want, but your destiny is what will make you shine and make you an asset to the world. So before you die, number four, you really want to discover your destiny. When someone says, well, go within, you know, you go within, you close your eyes, you put your hand over your heart, and you say, my heart of hearts, speak to me now. Speak to me loudly. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm in the flesh born birth. My destiny, come to me. I call my destiny to me now. That's really a meditative affirmation. Trust me. In sincerity, the answer will come. Discover your destiny here and now. The fifth thing you want to do before you die, guess what? You already know. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to do what you don't want to do. You want to do what you want to do, not have to do or forced to do, or do what you're told to do. You want to do just what you want to do. But just to find out if you're going to be an asset to the world and yourself, you want to find out exactly what you were born to do. And that coincides with number four, discovering your destiny. It's not safe nor good just to hang out day after day, not doing nothing in the city part of town, maybe with the wrong people that are not on your true path, that are not really in your corner as far as helping you with self-advancement issues. People that know that there's something different about you, but if you break out of your mold and become all that you can be, they're going to be left behind, and that's sadness for them too. So what you want to do is in self-discovery. Whatever makes you jump out of bed every morning, whatever makes you watch the clock to see if it's light outside for you to get up and start going again, that's what you want to do. You want to do what's going to bring you joy and happiness and not encroach or encroach on anyone else's joy. How can you be happy if someone else around you is not happy? Your goal is to make sure that while you're happy, the peace that you're feeling, it transcends from you and it engulfs those around you. You know, it's really contagious. Joy, peace, a kindness, goodness, those are all virtues that are just, hey, they're contagious. And what you want to do is exactly what you were born to do that will make your life fulfilled. Would anyone be afraid of dying? No. You know, whatever you're doing on this side, you'd be doing something even more better. Because, number one, you've made peace with yourself and the world. You've told the world the truth. Any adult children or those 12 and over, you've told them the truth. You stop fighting with them, abusing them, hurling profanity at them because you're sick, sad, and miserable. So you want to come clean and you want to tell the children the truth. You want to discover your destiny. My God, my God, my God. I don't know why, but sometimes I speak French. Oh, I wonder. Somewhere in my ancestral, there was someone there that spoke that language or lived in that particular region. You want to do your soul searching. How in the world can you be joyful now? I'd be afraid of dying myself too if I didn't discover who I really was and what my goals and purpose for living was. So we want to do that. And then as a little sidebar on our discussion on dead women can look good, well, let me tell you something. That goes for men too. And you know how they can look good? By visiting our unique gallery of fashions for lovely, elegant departures and for those remaining to cherish. Our little gallery is called For the End. And that's really for people who really know that their last must be their best in the form of clothing. And For the End, this unique gallery, it specializes in American and German and European and English couture, general and girl attire. Yes, I said that. Couture, that's that upscale, beautiful runway funeral and burial attire. Why in the world, upon our death, should we leave it to people that might not have our best interest in hearts, even sometimes our children, to put us in something beautiful, some beautiful clothing that will make us look good as we lay there in repose? Well, we specialize in one-of-a-kind designs for men, women, and children, and we even offer specially custom designs of fashions upon request. We offer, at For the End, burial fashions, last rites ensembles, wake and mourning costumes. Yes, people still in certain parts of the country still mourn their lost loved one. And we offer one-of-a-kind pre-need wardrobe services. Well, my goodness, if you don't think you're going to pass off the scene tomorrow, then you're alive and well to pick out your own clothing for the end in the way of pre-need fashion. You get to pick from lovely things that you might want to be buried in, laid to rest in, and those things are stored either at your place of residence or at our storage facility site for up to 10 years at no cost. For the in-office repose designs in French and Italian hand-tailored burial slippers and enchantment caps. Perhaps, you know, at the time of one's death, they've lost their hair. They don't look well according to maybe things that have happened to their head, so they want to be laid to rest in an enchantment cap. We offer lace neck enfoldments, burial facial shears. Suppose someone's upon their demise had acid thrown in their face. Maybe they were cut in the face. Maybe their throat was slit. Who knows? But my goodness, the facial shears will enable the casket to remain open during viewing without having to look ghastly. So those burial facial shears come in handy there. We offer shoulder design and gloves for hands that might have been cut or, you know, when those deep wounds hit the hands, the fingers, the arms, while the gloves can cover that. And we offer a host of other just beautiful, 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 beautiful things for one to choose from. And they're just simply elegant, and not just for those that are going to be buried or laid to rest, but for those that are viewing the body, those that are left to mourn. You want to look beautiful. You don't want to stand over your mommy's casket looking terrible. That's not respectful at all. No flip-flop, no sandals, no backless strap dresses. The way you respect the dead is the way you will be respected in death. So let's not take it lightly to run to funeral looking any kind of way. That's not nice. We want to return to a era of repose. Look at America. Look at the shape we're in. And also, while you're at it, you might want to begin thinking about writing your own obituary. So there'll be no lies and bogus statements made. You want to pick out your casket, your mausoleum. You want to get things together now before you die. You don't want to wait and leave it to a chance. That's not a good idea. Bad things happen when you leave your last rites to a chance. So we really want to return the world to a form of ritual to save not only those remaining, but truly, truly to show force here in America. You know, people in America has just given up on themselves. But five things to do before we die, we're going to reiterate again. And these are things that are very necessary. We want to make sure that we make peace. We want to make peace with ourselves and relatives. We want to tell the world the truth, tell our children the truth. We want to discover our destiny. Why am I here? What am I doing here? Why did I come here? And lastly, we want to do exactly what we want to do according to. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have a special show coming up in 2 weeks. Please watch Blog Talk Radio for those ideas. And for more information, you can call For the End at 424-634-9615. You can reach us at fortheend7@gmail.com. Good night, and remember, those things you must do before you die.